This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Very important principle on which he's going to develop a lot of ideas. And Simon Zion, is that right? Oid tzorich l'das, further you need to know, shehineh ha-hashgocho ha-elyoino b'chol prat me-ha-protim, mashgachas al kol ha-nikshar boi min ha-koid min ha-me-uchorim. That Ribbono Shel Olam is mashgiach on all the details and the attachments both before and after the present time. You will see in a moment what he's getting at. The soif dover mashgachas ba-hashgochas kol prat al kol ha-klal kuloi. And at the end he lands up being mashgiach, taking care of every detail of the whole generality, mitzad kol ma shemisyachasim kol achalokim im kol chelik lebinyono shel haklal, in the relationship that exists between every part to the whole. So it's not just the whole that he's mashgiach on, and it's not just the part that he's mashgiach on. He's also mashgiach over the relationship between all the parts to one another and the parts to the whole. Umimashi yushkaf bedino shel ish mea ishim. And what is watched in the situation of each individual and person, who madre gosoi umatzovoi b'mashe kod muloi, is the level and matz of the status of those that came before him too. Okay, so it's not just a question of his own situation, but his situation is affected by his predecessors. Dahino Ovis, his the fathers. Uvamashi isachruloi. Dahainu abonim, and what comes afterwards, such as the children. Umashi imoi, dahainu b'nei hader, and what's with him, that's his generation. So a person's situation is affected by his ancestors and by his descendants and by his contemporaries. So all those need to be watched, and their relationship needs to be monitored in order to achieve the right situation for the individual. Or b'nei ha'ir, the people in the town. Or b'nei ha'chevro, the people in the society. And after taking into account all these aspects, then the Ribbono Shel Olam determines what specific chelik in avodah is destined for this person. You remember last week we discussed that every person is given a specific mission in avodah Hashem. Each person has his job, and the first thing in avodah Hashem one has to do is figure out what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me, because the folly of making decisions about one's life without determining that leads one into chaotic decisions. Simple decisions such as whether one stays in South Africa or one emigrates. How can one take such a decision if one hasn't decided what is the Ribbono Shel Olam want of me? To decide whether to go to yeshiva or to university or to both or to neither. How can one decide that if one hasn't figured out what is the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? To decide whether to expand one's business or contract one's business. Whatever decision you're going to take depends on some kind of self-knowledge of what you believe is the mission that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given you specifically, because no two people have the same chelik and avodah. No two people have the same mission and the same job, and the fact that somebody else has done something doesn't mean that that's what you should be doing also. On the contrary, what you have to do is something which fits in specifically to what you consider to be the chelik and the avodah which the Ribbono Shel Olam has given you. Then v'yutan lo yamasol la'avod lefonov. Then the responsibility of avodah is given to him, bearing in mind all those considerations. The fact that you come, and you've got to take those considerations when you're trying to figure out what is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from me, you've got to take into account where was I born, where do I live, who are my parents, in what society are my children growing up, who are my contemporaries. One has to figure out in one situation, the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't going to put you in a situation where the avodah is for something else. He's not going to put you in South Africa if he wants your avodah to be in Alaska. Well, there would be no point in that. And if he changes, if there comes a time where Hitaka wants you to be in Alaska, he'll send you messages, he'll make it clear that that's where he wants you to be, that things have to change. That's how one's life goes. And if one goes along with it, if one analyzes one's movements in terms of that hashkofa, that attitude, it's surprising how clear things start to become. V'ulom hinucho roye shezohu rak b'inyan hadin shel olam hazeh. But this only applies to Olam Hazeh. Who mashu amati sheyugzar olav achelik ba'avodah. That is, that a person is given a specific area of avodah. And that means that it is determined by the Ribbono Shel Olam in what place, in what situation he will find himself. And he has no bechira in that. There's no choice in that. Who your parents are, who your children are, who your society is, unless you move societies, you don't have choice in that. That's something that the Ribbono Shel Olam cuts out for you. In accordance with the situation which the Ribbono Shel Olam has given you, so will be the matzav. And if you look at it, it's something I wish somebody would one day do a sociological survey, and South Africans are the people to do it with. I believe you'll find with amazing consistency that people who have emigrated with this type of attitude are the ones who have done well. And people who feel they're not just emigrating because they're scared of emigrating, because they feel that for education of their children, or it's become impossible for them to live here, or there's been some clear reason for them, but not just a silly little reason, some clear indication that they're meant to go to a specific place. Those are the ones that are successful, and of course we know how very many there are that are unhappy in what they've done and aren't achieving in Ruchnius the same as they were here. How many South Africans have gone overseas to Eretz Israel as well, and sometimes to America it's the same, and have dropped what Yiddishkeit they had. So what's it all for? So even if the revolution would have come by now and they would have been wiped out, to get a bit of Olam Haba that way, or to get nothing from emigrating, but it just doesn't come into the picture. And those people have gone with a positive reason, because they felt it's the right thing to do for reason A, B, C. It's not just a panic reaction. Those are people who have made a success of it, who feel that that's part of their mission. It's a consistent development of their lives. And that's with every decision that one takes in one's life. It has to be the next step on the building, the next floor that you're building up. You've got to be moving forward. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't put you in a situation and then destroy everything you've done and make you start again somewhere. That's not the intention. The intention is to be building. That doesn't mean you're always building in the same place, but it has to be kaseder. It has to be done with some kind of orderly structure, realizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam has cut out a situation and has designed your Avodas Hashem in terms of the situation that he's cut out for you. But when it comes to Olam Habo, then it's your own actions that count, and only your own actions. When you're here, there are all sorts of tainus that you can give the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to want to know why you didn't send your children to a cheder in Bnei Brak. You'll answer, because Ribbono Shel Olam, you put me in Johannesburg. That's why I didn't. And that's a valid answer. That's where I was, and I figured out that that's where I had to be. But that's in terms of our decisions and actions in Olam Hazeh. But in Olam Habo, it's only, there's not, nobody else to blame. A child will not suffer the sin of a father. That's in Olam Haba. In spiritual matters, a child will never be blamed with something which are the consequences of his father's actions. That is, if a man has the schus to be granted honor, greatness, and wealth. His children are born wealthy. That's not a schar. The children aren't getting reward for anything. It's just a fact of life. That's a matzov. That's a situation. So the Derech Hashem is here distinguishing between matzov and schar. That when you look at why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people and so on, you've got to distinguish between situation and reward. Situation is not determined by actions. If a person is born into a privileged situation, that's not because he's born a tzaddik. Nobody's born a tzaddik. That's just because that's the matzav which the Ribbono Shel Olam has designed for him, bearing in mind the particular chelek avoda which the Ribbono Shel Olam wants for that particular person. And then the person has to analyze it in that way, and he has to say to himself, I've been born into a privileged society. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam do that? What is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from me that he bore me in to this particular society? And if nothing changes during their lives, if things go normally, they will remain wealthy people. And the opposite also, if a person is born into poverty, all things being equal, he's going to remain poor. What did he do to deserve it? Nothing. That's the situation which the Ribbono Shel Olam designed for him because of the particular avoda that Hashem wanted from him. So if you ask, why are they so wealthy? What did they do to become wealthy? The answer is very simple. They were the children of wealthy parents. That's it. Simple answer. You don't have to get all philosophical about it. The truth of the matter is as follows. Sha'odom zoyche lebonov b'chamish odvarim shemonu chachomim zichroinam levracha. There are five areas the Gemara in Edia says, the Mishnah, there are five things which a person can inherit onto to their children. And that's part of matzav, that's not part of schar. That's just a natural situation. Wealth is one of them. But if one has it, one's children automatically benefit from it. And so a person can be born into goodness for no reason other than that his father already has a chazaka in it. That's all. That's the family situation. There's another thing which is chus ovis. This is not chus ovis even. Chus ovis is a second thing, that because of something a father did, the Ribbono Shel Olam can repay the children at a later stage. That's as we discussed last night and last Mitzvah Shabbos. But there are certain zchuyos that the Ribbono Shel Olam continues to pay off when a credit is built up. The Ribbono Shel Olam continues to pay it to future generations too. Or the hefech, or the other way around. And sometimes the other, it works the other way around. Because of one's descendants, one is saved. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that from you is going to come some greatness. The Ribbono Shel Olam saves you in order to facilitate that greatness in the future. As we had with Moav, not being wiped out so that Ruth can come out of it eventually and so on. And so also in relationship to one's society and one's town, it can work both ways, that the town gets benefit because you're there, or that you get benefit because the town is there. And all these are part of the matzovim, all these are parts of the situations in which man finds himself, and has nothing to do with reward and punishment. This is just situation, the cloth from which the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to cut your suit. You're going to do the cutting, you're going to make it, but he provides the cloth, and this is the raw material. And there's no bechira, that's got nothing to do with free choice. Where we are placed, there's no free choice. What you do with it, that's your free choice. There, that's where the bechira applies. And still apart from all this is all what he's discussing really is the whole question of reward and punishment. That's really the theme of this whole period. Of what it is that determines people's well-being. There's another aspect which is resultant from these two ways of relating to us, the personal and the general. The Ribbono Shel Olam has looked at the situation and determined something which needs to be there for the improvement of society in order to achieve this ultimate perfect society that we've discussed, where you've got this kibbutz hashleimim. But also show your inyan nois lohem oid, and the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that it would be very fitting, that people should be able to help others, not only help themselves spiritually. Perush, that means shelo yuchlat hadova shirak mish yagia bekach shelo yatzmo el hashleim usiyemin animnim bekibutz bnei olam habo. That Olam Habo should not be available only to those who through their own efforts have achieved it. Right, so what we're looking for now is an ability for a person to achieve Olam Habo through somebody else's efforts. Elogam mishekvar yagi'u maisov. But also somebody else whose actions have taken him to such a level, shebehitalusoi be'acher, that by attaching himself to somebody else, zakai mimenu, more worthwhile than himself, yuchal lehenus b'shleimus, he too can benefit from that shleimus. So the Ribbono Shel Olam builds into our society the ability to link ourselves to one another and benefit from that linkage. Hine yikonis b'chlal hahu, he can enter that group. He's on a low level in that group, which is the level of being dependent on your friend. So that means that the only person who will be totally removed from that future shleimus the only people now who will not make it to Olam Haba are people who don't have their own worthwhileness, nor have they managed to attach themselves, to link themselves to somebody better than them. It comes out from this that there's enormous opportunity to be part of that. The yirbu yoser anenim, and more people can. It is now available to more people. those who have achieved it themselves and are responsible for others achieving it, those people will be at the higher levels of that gathering of people. And they will be the leaders. And those who need to be dependent on them, those people will be indebted to them and will need them at all times. They will not have an independent existence, but at least they are there. So it's open to anybody, even somebody who has not been able to make it himself, by attaching himself to a tzaddik, is able to be a part of that tzaddik's olam haba. And in order to make this enormous improvement possible, that Ribbono Shel Olam had to create an inherent attachment between personalities. And that is what is meant by the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh, that Yisrael have an interest in one another. That we have Arevim Ze Lazeh doesn't just mean responsible for one another, but the word Arevim also means are mixed up with one another. As if we each contain, we each contain a bit of one another. There's a little bit of each of us in all of us. So and that's how that linkage works. By this principle, people are found to be attached one to the other, and people are not entirely separate. No Jew is now on his own. Every Jew has some inherent linkage to every other Jew. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is always more generous on the good side than he is tough on the bad side. And if this results in our being responsible for one another's chet, which is so, that's just the necessary consequence of this linkage. How much more so that we can benefit one another in the schuyus that we have from one another. So that the linkage works both ways. And that's the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh. So Arevim Ze Lazeh is just the almost biological fact that makes the linkage possible. Okay, that we have the potential for linkage. Then an individual has to link himself. He links himself through the chesed that he does with him, through learning from him, through being meshamish him. There are all sorts of ways that he can establish a relationship where he makes himself meshubah to that particular tzaddik. So he's expanding that principle. He's going further. Everybody in Olam Habo is responsible for himself, except if you've got people who you're responsible to, then that's part of it.
What about the principle that one of them came in and somehow it goes so many generations ahead?
So he said that's only in Olam Hazeh. But in Olam Habo, Bein Lo Yisol Be'Ovenav. So it's only in Matzav that children are affected by the Matzav of the parents and vice versa, but not in Tzchar and Onish. A child is not punished with onesh or not given schar for something the father did, except with schus olis and so on. But the normal principle of that is the matzav. Man's situation in Olam Hazeh is determined by, among other things, his parents, his society, and all sorts of things which are beyond his control. And this leads us into something which I just want to start you off on. We won't be able to do the whole section, but this leads us into an area which the Christians have made a big mess of. V'omnam al-pi shorish zeh nisdar. A result of this principle is shiyagiyu tzoros v'yusurim le'ish tzadik, that a tzadik can suffer tzoros and yusurim v'yizeh l'chaporos doiro, and the door can be atoned for that. Okay, that there is such a principle of the tzadik suffering for the avoidance of the door. And it's part of the obligation of the tzaddik to accept with love yisurim which he's getting for his dough, in exactly the same way as he would for his own yisurim. Why is that? Why must the tzaddik feel exactly the same about yisurim he's getting for his dough as he would about yisurim he's getting for himself? Because the dough is himself. They're all linked to him. That's an expanded personality. The tzaddik sees the door as part of his personality. He doesn't see it as separate. Just as if your hand is sore, you don't look at it from a distance. It's you who's suffering the pain. It's not your hand. It's you. So when a tzaddik sees the door suffering, or a tzaddik feels the suffering, there's no distinction between that. And through this he does good for his dor by being mechaper for them. And he himself is elevated enormously through undertaking this responsibility. That puts him in the front row of the of those who become part of this kibbutz in Olam Habo. Where, what's the difference between this and the Christian view? Yeah, but here too, in a sense, the tzaddik is suffering for the dor. What is the dor doing for it? Sorry? That's one, that is also one difference, but I think one of the major differences, this is for his own contemporaries. This is not a tzaddik can't suffer for future, yeah, can't to be mechaper for all generations. Yeah, it's not an ongoing relationship between the tzaddik and the dor. They had one guy and he suffered, and now it's okay for everybody for the end of time. That doesn't work. Although we did have in the Motzei Shabbos shiur that when the Rebbeinu Shlomo is indebted because of the suffering of a tzaddik, the children benefit, but that's in terms of schar. The Rebbeinu Shlomo repays them, but it's not kapora. That doesn't just atone for them automatically. But a tzaddik in his own dor is able to take on, he takes on the personality of that entire dor. And we'll see why it has to work that way and what a chesed it is, in fact, that the kapora of the dor can come as a result of, can come through the suffering of one individual tzaddik. Sure it is. But it's held as a taina against him. Yeah. If the door isn't up to it, it's almost his fault. And there's a bit of that here as well, in the sense that the tzaddik is responsible for his door. Therefore, if the door isn't living up to what it's supposed to be, then the tzaddik is, in a sense, has a greater responsibility to that door.